Good morning, everybody. It is September 20th, 2021. This is your home away from homeroom, the daily homeroom, the ADK homeroom, Adirondack homeroom. I am your host, Frank. And oh my goodness, what a gorgeous day we had at the Westport Soccer Tournament this weekend. Oh, it was down at the Camp Dudley Soccer Grounds over there on Lake Champlain and the bluffs looking down at the water. I think it costs about $5 million a summer to send your kid to Camp Dudley, but it might be worth it. Holy shnikes, that was a day. The soccer fields, like I said, they're on these bluffs, and the water is glittering down below you there in Lake Champlain. And over in the west, you got the mountains rising up there, this glorious escarpment, like the earth itself is popping its head up to watch you play your soccer game. Down there, we had to drive down through those clouds coming down from Elizabethtown, so white and so fluffy coming down out of the mountains. Felt like you had to take the spiderweb clouds out of your face, like you'd walk through spiderwebs while you're hiking, and you got to brush them out of your face. That's what it felt like driving down through those clouds. They were so white and fluffy, and then you get there, and you got the lake glittering down below you while you're up on the bluff, and the mountains in the west, and the sun was like that spring Florida sun. It was such a perfect temperature. You know, it was like God was up there saying, here is a day. How about a September present for you? By the way, sorry about all that COVID stuff the last couple of years, but here's a day. Yes. All right. We did have a fantastic day. And it did not hurt that our teams went undefeated on the day. They were like, I don't know. Six games, something like that, seven games among all our teams, and undefeated for us. So that is fantastic. But what is newsworthy about this program? By the way, still dealing with allergies, even when you have a fantastic day like that at the Westport Soccer Tournament, you can still have some allergies bothering you. Sadly. So I'm trying not to sniffle here on this podcast. I don't know. You learn all about podcasting and how to upload your stuff and how to get it to Apple and to Spotify and to everywhere else. And then listen to all these best practices and podcasting videos. But then you never actually see somebody telling you how to control your sniffles so it doesn't bother people. Oh, well. Hope it doesn't bother you. I'll try to minimize the sniffling. So what's noteworthy? What's about this Westport Soccer Tournament that, besides the divine providence of the weather in the day? Oh my gosh! But what's noteworthy about it? Why are we talking about it here? I will tell you what's noteworthy about our small town soccer tournament up here in this gorgeous part of the world. What's noteworthy is how they're responding to and dealing with the pandemic that has changed the world in the last year and a half. So their setup for the tournament was to send out a bunch of unpleasant emails, like very not pleasant at all. They were like, get in my belly. No, they actually weren't, fat bastard. They didn't say that, but the tone was kind of the same. They said, you must wear a mask at our tournament. You must fill out this contact tracing form. You must do this now. You must comply. Right? I could hear the Dalek behind them. Exterminate. Anyway, so they sent out all these emails, right? And you must do this. And you're thinking right away, oh, Rilke, letters to a young poet. Or as Ted Lasso would say, letters to a hung poet. That was such a great episode. Letters to a young poet, Rilke's writing to Mr. Kappas, and he says, how do you know if you need to be a poet? If you must write poetry. That must is a really strong word. You must write it. So when Westport is sending out these emails with the word must, right? You think of Rilke, you think of the word must, you think of how strong that word is. You must fill out this tracing form. You must wear a mask at our tournament. You must comply. The thing is, you didn't have to, except you didn't have to, right? Because when we got there, nobody was wearing a mask. Basically, no one. fewer than at our own tournament the weekend before. Fewer than there were fewer masks on people there than at the damn duck race, right? Which is this awesome, amazing event we have up here in the Adirondacks where they sell a duck for charity, right? A rubber duck, and they're all numbered, and they have three or four giant garbage cans full of rubber ducks out there on the barge in the river, and then they pour out the garbage cans all at once, and the ducks flop into the water, and they just drift along the river toward the waterfall, and then they crash over the waterfall, and all the little kids squeal and cheer, and you got the bouncy house going, and you're having that fried chicken and pasta dinner, and on those paper plates with the flimsy forks, and you've got the chocolate sheet cake with the lemon and orange duck themed icing going on, and eventually the ducks start to drift over the finish line, and you get your winner, right? And it's all for charity. It's a great cause. It's a wonderful thing. But this is outdoors. This is not a bastion of mask wearing. And I'm saying, even at the damn duck race, there were a higher percentage of mask wearers than at the Westport soccer tournament, which had sent out all these unpleasant "you must comply" emails ahead of time. I did a quick estimate. Easy to do it with the kids, right? Because they're color coded and they're in groups and they're on the fields, and I know, 11 people on the soccer team, etc. Although some of these games were playing, 9 plus a goalie. Anyway, it's pretty easy to count when they're color-coded. About 1 out of maybe 75 or so kids wearing a mask. And then a little harder for the adults because they're not wearing the color-coded shirts, but roughly about the same. So, less than 2% of the people out there wearing masks, even though they had been ordered and tournament organizers had made a point of emphasis in their pre-tournament emails. What can we learn from this? Why is this something that we should think about? Well, your first reaction might be, oh, this is great. It's an outdoor tournament. There's absolutely no good evidence that COVID is transmitted outdoors, so that the SARS-CoV-2 virus is spread outdoors. So people are coming to their senses. We like it when people are coming to their senses. People meet sense. Sense meet people. Oh, hello, I love you, sense. Yeah, world peace, happily ever after. Let's go watch the Michigan game. This is good, right? Meeting sense is good. Well, sure, it's better than if people were being, nonsensical, if people had been outdoors wearing masks. But here's the area for improvement. They had to do it secretly, right? Westport, sure, they put down the Kool-Aid. They didn't drink this Kool-Aid that outdoors at windy outdoors bluff top event with tons of kids. They didn't drink the Kool-Aid that masks were anything important to do there. They didn't drink the Kool-Aid that masks were a net benefit. And even if they saved, one case of transmission, somehow that outweighed all the detriments of wearing a mask. So they didn't do that, but they did pretend to do that, right? They're like that kid at the party that is too scared to just say, no, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. And it's a grim party, right, if we're talking about Kool-Aid. But this is the expression that people use. So anyway, they were like the kid who like lifts it up to the lips and pretends to drink and then sets it down and kind of looks around and make sure nobody notices what they're doing. So they went through the motions of it, but then they didn't do it because it's all about signaling, right? They wanted to look like they were paying attention to masks. They wanted to be able to say to the Department of Health or the little, newspaper, whoever's talking to about it, they wanted to be able to say, oh, look, here's the paperwork. We did the mask thing. Oh, yeah, see, we have it in writing. We did the contract tracing thing. We're all about that. Oh, it's so important to do that. But then, they set down the cup without drinking. They didn't actually drink, which is good. But we'd like to get to the point where you don't have to even pretend. You don't have to even signal. What's the problem with doing these signals? Well, number one, a signal like this, it shows contempt for the law, right? I'm going to give you three reasons why this is a poor practice to signal and then not actually follow through on that signal, even though we're glad that they didn't follow through, because following through would have doubled down on the dumbness. number one reason that just this signaling is bad, it shows contempt for the law, right? You want to have real laws that people actually understand the value of, people actually follow. The law, in some sense, should be kind of like a grammar in that it's descriptive rather than prescriptive. A good grammar, descriptive rather than prescriptive. In other words, you look out there, you see what people in society are doing, what works, and you say, oh, here's what we do, here's what works. We're going to codify it, we're going to put it down, we're going to put down precedents. And these are the laws that a good society has. We've discovered the law. We haven't written down the law, right? We haven't made up the law. We haven't put this out there and just fashioned it, artificially created it out of nothing. We are discovering the law, and then we're writing it down. So you describe what works. You don't prescribe, you must do this. And then people think, why? What the heck? Why should I do that law? You just see what's working, and you write it down, right? This is related to the concept of natural law, of course. The problem is, with what happened here, is that they signaled one thing, and then they acted in another way. And this encourages people to view the law, what was written down, what was actually in those emails, and what we said we were going to do. People see it as something that's not necessary. Say, oh, well, we don't have to do the rules. Oh, those things that we write down, those things aren't important. We just get by with our little secret strategies and our little secret things that we don't write down and we don't report to our institutions. That's not right. We need the rule of law. The rule of law rather than the rule of man, right? Things that are written down, a constitution rather than a king's dictates. These are important to avoid barbarism. You could not have had the Enlightenment. You could not have had this amazing thing where for the last 3/4 of a century, every single day, 50,000 people have been lifted out of abject poverty around the globe. Nobody ever reports on that, but it's true. And you could not have had this amazing progress in society without the rule of law. And what Westport did is eroding the respect for the rule of law, because you're putting out one thing, and you're writing down one thing, and you're saying what you're doing is one thing, but then you're teaching everybody to actually do something different. And you're actually going to subvert that and go against that and do your own thing. That's eroding the law. So that's number one. That's the number one problem with what happened there. Great tournament. Loved it. Super day. But this is our job. Our job is to get better. So let's focus on the areas where we can get better. Second reason that secretly putting down the Kool-Aid is bad is that it wears on relationships. And since we're talking about a kiddie soccer tournament here, we're talking about parent-child relationships, especially how is a child supposed to, you know, hear his parents and build up trust with his parents when he's hearing his parents say all week, it's important to wear a mask. But then when you show up, you don't actually wear a mask, right? The parent says in public, oh, we need to do this, we have to do this. And then in practice and in private, you don't actually do that. Either masks aren't important and my mom's a poser, or masks are important and my mom's putting me in danger, right? That's what the kid's going to think. The kid's going to look at this and says, oh, my mom says we have to do this. We got this email. Or maybe it's your coach. Maybe it's your coach and not your parent. And coach says, oh, I had to fill out this form. Coach says, oh, I got to bring a mask. And wait a second, now coach isn't making me wear a mask. Now coach isn't actually looking at the form. Now nobody's double checking on any of this. So what does the player think? Oh, my coach is just a fake. My coach is just posing. My coach is just signaling. But actually, what we're going along with and what we're actually doing is something different. Is my coach putting me in danger by not enforcing important safety rules? Or is my coach being a hypocrite by saying things are important and then they're not actually important to him and to our team? These are the two options. And this is the kind of trap that cowardly signaling puts you into. It teaches kids that that's how you make your way in life. You say one thing because it's politically necessary, but then you act differently because that's actually the best way to live your life. Now, you know where else acts like that? I'll tell you where else acts like that. North Korea. Now, hold on. Hold on. I'm not really comparing our soccer tournament to a Kwan Lee So. Please don't get me wrong. There is absolutely no comparison there. The concentration camps in North Korea are, you know, light years beyond the human suffering. We had an amazing day on Saturday. There's no comparison there. but I am comparing just the processes, just the way that people signal one way and then act another way because of political pressure. That is a common thread here. And you don't even want to have the tiniest of common threads in common with North Korea. And of course, with all other politically oppressive states around the world. I just said North Korea because, I don't know, it's a great example. People know it. It's fun to say Kwon Li So. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's what they call their concentration camps there, which are horrific and should not be allowed to go on. So that's the second reason, wearing down relationships and highlighting the hypocrisy. Number three reason that this was unfortunate, the way Westport had things set up here and the way it carried out. Number three reason is that it's cowardly. This is not brave. This is the opposite of that. We need people to be stand-up guys, right? This is like a sit-down world right now. Everybody's sitting down. Everybody's just taking it. Everybody's shutting up. We need people to stand up, and we need people to stick up and speak up. People who are brave enough to say, you know, this is my body. I get to choose what to do with it. We need people who are brave enough to question authority. We used to teach questioning authority in school. Even at the beginning of my career back in the 90s, you would still see in the health textbooks mainly, you would see people talk about how it's healthy to think for yourself, to question what is the received dogma from previous generations. This was actually in health books. They had other issues, those health books, but they had one good thing there where it was thinking for yourself, the chapter thinking for yourself, resisting pressure from peers, resisting received wisdom from previous ages, and how important it is for advancement to be able to challenge the status quo, right? It's really impossible to intentionally move on from the status quo if you are not thinking outside and beyond the status quo, challenging the prevailing notions. Well, I know the zeitgeist, right, is for the status quo right now. The zeitgeist is blowing extremely strongly. It's a serious headwind zeitgeist against us making any sort of progress here and changing the status quo. But we need to do that, and you need to be brave to do that. When you're the one person standing up and everybody's looking at you, it takes courage to be able to do that. It's cowardly to just sit down and not get pounded down, right? There's that old Nihonjin proverb, right? Japanese proverb that says the nail that sticks up gets pounded down. And a lot of times that is true. The nail that sticks up gets pounded down, but we need a lot more nails sticking up right now than we have. And this Westport soccer tournament, the way they put out these things and then they didn't follow through on them, that's kind of cowardly. If you don't believe in masks, you know what? Say so. Stand up and say so. And this idea of obey your scientists and do not question the fact checkers. Well, you have to stand up against that. We need people brave enough to challenge that wisdom. People who are willing to say, no, I'm going to take a risk. I'm gonna thumb my nose. I'm going to bite my thumb at all the people who are telling me I have to be a coward and I have to toe the line. So that's our third reason, right? Is that it promotes cowardice and it does not support bravery. Bravery may be even the one thing that's lacking most in our society right now. And that's what happened at the Westport soccer tournament this weekend, folks. It was a signaling festival. They signaled that masks are super important, but they didn't actually carry through on that signaling. Now, that's, I guess, the final lesson here that I will point out about the Westport soccer tournament is that signaling is important, good or bad, and it can be either one. It is important. It happens all over. People are constantly signaling status, prestige, coalition forming. These signals are very important in human life, right? College education can be seen as mostly signaling. Do you use the skills you learned in college in your job? No. Most cases, no, you really don't. If few cases you do. But in a lot of cases, college, for example, is just a big, expensive, very expensive form of signaling. You go there, you jump through their hoops, and that sends a signal to future employers that, hey, you're a guy who can jump through some pretty difficult hoops to jump through. Maybe they should hire you. So signaling, whether that's a good or bad reason, signaling is important. And I think a lot of people don't even realize that there's a constant tension between what is signaled and what is actual. And your goal should be to match up the signal to the reality. You don't want your signals just to be based purely on politics, purely on a status that has no basis in a meritocracy, status that is only based on maybe religion, or status that is based only on family or inheritance or history or historical inertia. You want your signaling to be based on ability and accomplishments and things like that. It appears that somebody else in my household has let the cat escape containment again. Way to go, somebody else in my household. Oh boy. Yeah, and now somebody else in my household just slugged me in the shoulder as they walked by. That's great. The other thing I was going to point out about signaling is that you can read the Iliad this way if you're inclined to read the Iliad. And you should be, right? The Iliad is way better than the Odyssey, for example. Homer is absolutely fantastic. Go read the Iliad. But the Iliad is this tension between signaling and actual results. Agamemnon and Achilles at the start of the Iliad, right, are trying to send signals. Who's more high status? Who has more prestige? The word that it's translated usually comes down to us as honor. Who has more honor, Agamemnon or Achilles? Or Achilles, and they're stuck in their tents. Achilles is pouting in his tent. Agamemnon's out there, and everything on the battlefield is fallen to heck. It's going pretty poorly because they're arguing over signaling instead of arguing over actual results. So, signaling can be great, signaling can be useful, but in the case of the Westport soccer tournament, and the case of what Achilles and Agamemnon are doing right there, it's a very poor form of signaling because it's not based on something that is going to correspond to reality. It's not based on something that is going to correspond to a way to improve your life, to make things better, to achieve what you want to achieve in life. You have to match your signaling to the realistic conditions, not just the political aspirations. All right, time for me to go see what's going on with the felines and others in this house. I hope that you are having a super day. I will see you tomorrow. If you thought my little mention of the Iliad here today was great, wait until you see what we do with a certain Disney movie tomorrow. Take care.